Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Minority, and today's show is titled A Little Good News, because goodness knows there's enough bad news out there, and every once in a while I like to take a little break from reporting the bad news, which you should be aware of so that you can make good decisions when you're voting, and go and look, have a look at some good news articles out there so that you know why you are in this fight to preserve the American way of life. Or just to preserve a good life. And we're going to start out with politics. We have got a lovely, lovely dog that saves soldiers' lives in northern Iraq. This is a story from The Sun. And the headline is, "Gutsy German Shepherd Saves SAS Lives When Troops Were Ambushed by ISIS in Northern Iraq." Now, it says, first, a heroic German shepherd, and later they refer to it as an Alsatian. He was with there was a special forces team ambushed by a group of ISIS fighters, and then they say when the Alsatian attacked the two jihadis. Now, maybe Alsatian is a particular kind of German shepherd. I wasn't aware of it. I thought Alsatians were a different breed altogether. The article says, the brave pooch is thought to have been trained by the U.S. Army. So good for them. There was a military operation that took place last month on the northern border, it says. And I'm not sure what the date on this is because I couldn't find one. So maybe it's old news, but I still like it. And the unsuspecting troops were, okay, let's see here. The SAS soldiers were returning from a 10-day training program for Peshmerga fighters. The pup was traveling with a group of British soldiers in a convoy of four vehicles. They were caught unawares when they were trapped by a group of jihadis, hit by a homemade bomb as around 50 ISIS fighters attacked. Leaving their vehicles to take cover, they were split up between three areas, and when they attempted to move out, the jihadis attacked them from behind. A U.S. soldier traveling with the convoy let the heroic pup, I keep calling him a pup, I'm sorry. For me, a puppy is a year-old dog. After that, it's a dog. You know, under a year is a puppy, over a year is a dog. So anyway, he let the dog off the leash, and the angry dog ran snarling towards the enemy fighters. The first jihadi was bitten on the neck and face. The dog slashed the second fighter's arm and leg, and they ran away in terror. And that, I guess, was enough to get them to safety, or to help U.S. air support meant that the stranded SAS troops could get to safety. So it is thought this is the first time that an attack dog has been used to directly save soldiers' lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. So this is probably old, but I still like it. Although the comments are for the 16th, May 8th. although May 8th and May 9th. So maybe this is new news. Either way, go dogs. Dogs are good. I have this conversation with my husband and my son all the time because they think cats are better. And I say, no, dogs are good. They never had dogs as children. Yes, I'm sorry, I could not get a dog for my boy when he was growing up. But the husband is allergic to everything, so that's my excuse. But dogs are good. You know, I even read a meme on Facebook saying that there was a rescue dog who went and sought out stray cats who were in trouble and alerted its owner and saved over 600 cats or something like that. So dogs are good. Yay, dogs. Moving on to our next story. We have got some hope for those with advanced melanoma. This is from Good News Network, and I looked up a lot of these on Good News Network and followed some of them back to their original things, but this is May 22nd, Good News Network. Advanced melanoma skin cancer survival rate jumps from 1% to 40%. Now, 40%, I understand, is still less than half, but it's a whole lot more than 1%. So, yay, medical research. For patients with a deadly skin cancer who previously had few treatment options, a drug that will boost their immune systems has shown great promise. After 655 patients with advanced melanoma received the drug pembrolizumab, which I'm probably mispronouncing, a new study showed 15% of people in the trial had no sign of cancer 3 years later, achieving total remission. Until now, this type of melanoma had a median overall survival rate of less than 1 year. In this trial of those who received the antibody, 89% remained in some state of remission, because you can have total remission or partial remission. So 89% of them remained in some state of remission after 3 years. Isn't that wonderful? Your survival rate goes from less than 1 year to 3 years for 89% of the people in the trial with this drug. It says, advanced melanoma is still a very challenging cancer, which is why it is so remarkable that such a large proportion of patients see a long-term survival benefit from this therapy, said lead study author Caroline Robert, MD, PhD, head of the dermatology unit at Institut Gustave Roussy in Paris. And let's see, the data released ahead of the world's biggest cancer conference showed patients did develop side effects, including fatigue and a rash, which, quite frankly, I think is better than death. So, yay medical research, and I hope that this is approved soon for skin cancer. It says it was approved in the U.S. for use against lung cancer. It's also being tested for use with triple-negative breast cancer. I don't know what that is. Praise God. Gastric cancer, urothelial cancer, and head and neck cancer. It's already been approved for use in the U.K. for patients with melanoma, and in the U.S., the FDA gave the drug the go-ahead under its Fast Track program in 2014. In this trial, we're on the drug for an average of slightly less than 1 year, which would cost on the retail market around $150,000. Woo, that's a big old chunk of money. And I know that there are those out there, who will say, oh, those big pharmaceutical companies gouging the customer again because they're in fear of their lives. They're gouging them. No. It costs money. Huge, huge lots of money to develop this sort of stuff. Good for them that they'll keep doing it, and good that they get a chance to make that money back. Moving on, we've also got some hope for those with glioblastoma. Let me see. This is also from Good News Network. Bold trials to kill vicious cancer type is so successful, FDA will fast-track it to patients. This was dated May 18th of this year. A bold cancer therapy that uses the poliovirus, to attack a form of brain cancer has been so successful it's been given breakthrough status by the FDA. That status means hundreds of patients can receive the treatment before testing is even completed or the FDA has finally given its approval, a process that can normally take years. Glioblastoma is usually fatal within just months of diagnosis, but Duke University researchers developed a treatment that's resulted in quick and complete recoveries among patients in clinical trials. Now, it doesn't say all patients, but clearly the results are stunning enough that the FDA has said, yes, let's get people treated this way. Let's see if we can do something. So good for that fast-track program. Researchers took samples of the poliovirus and removed its ability to cause the disease. They then spliced in part of the genes from the common cold virus, which shows that even the worst storm drives up some wood on the beach, as they say. Polio, the common cold, these things are things that we generally think of as bad. But look at this. They're being used for this wonderful treatment. This creates a whole new virus, PVS-RIPO, which can only grow by feeding on the abnormalities found in diseased cells. As a result, it destroys cancer cells while ignoring healthy ones. And I hope that continues to be the case, because, you know, that could be a whole lot of horrible if it works bad. But right now, it looks like it is doing well and doing what it's supposed to. Cells in the poliovirus have a natural receptor that can attach to almost all tumor cells. This lets PVS-RIPO break into the cancer cells, and once inside, it strips the tumors of their protections against the immune system. That unleashes the full power of the immune system directly against now defenseless cancer cells. Let's see, one patient diagnosed in 2011 and treated with the therapy saw her tumor shrink for 21 straight months until it disappeared. 3 years later, she is completely cancer-free. And there was a recent news report on 60 Minutes. They have a video of that. So, yay, if you've just been diagnosed with glioblastoma or melanoma, there is hope for you. Go out and find these doctors and say, I want that treatment. And since these are both really, really life-threatening cancers, my gosh, isn't that wonderful? That is just great. Now, let's move on. Oh, yep. And in that, with that FDA process, I wanted to talk about LSU researchers develop Holy Grail eye drop to prevent and treat cataracts without surgery. This one I'm a little iffy on whether it's good news or not. Because first of all, it does have to go through those years and years of trials. And second of all, it involves nanoparticles. But the idea behind this is, let's see, Christina Sabliov, a LSU professor who led the research, and this is from theadvocate.com, May 22nd. She says it doesn't require injections. It's not invasive. You just put a droplet in each eye. Over the past 3 years, they've worked with researchers in Sabliov's native Romania to develop the eye drop, which is a state-of-the-art nanoparticle designed to deliver the antioxidant lutein into the eye. While tests on rats have been successful in reducing the size of cataracts over 1 week, the team expects further animal tests and human tests to take years before the eye drops can hit the market. But basically what this does is it uses the nanoparticles to deliver this nutrient, which I guess you can take supplements for this. We've all seen the ads. Eye health, get yourself some lutein. But the thing is that lutein is apparently unstable and not very bioavailable. So even if you eat a lot of it, and you may not get enough to help your eyes. And the ridiculous health guidelines saying, don't eat the yolks of eggs. Well, that they have a huge amount of lutein in them. So, let's see. Their bottom line here, their last sentence is, if we apply it directly to the eye for only 7 days in an everyday eye application, you can reverse cataracts. And I am happy we can at least have an alternative to surgery. So I hope that that works out with the studies, because one of the things about getting older is cataracts. And I have a young relative who had got cataracts at a very young age, and he's already had surgery on one eye and needs it on the other eye. I think he might have gotten the other eye done recently. But the thing is that the cataracts regrow. And so if he could have an eye drop for that, that would be stunningly wonderful. All righty. Let's see, moving on here. Under religion, I have what's kind of, you know, it's kind of a bad news story because it involves evil. But it's a good news story because it involves a rescue from evil for some. This is also on the Good News Network. And May 20th is the date on it. Abducted schoolgirl rescued from Boko Haram, 97 others saved. Now, excuse me. Goodness. Special Forces Thursday cleared an area held by the terrorist group Boko Haram. They say terrorist group when they should say Islamist terrorist group. I just hate it when they edit like that. And rescued 97 women and children that were being held captive. Gosh, excuse the throat clearing and stuff. I'm having an interesting day with that. I might be coming down with something. But Boko Haram, kidnapping hundreds of people at a time. That's an evil in the world. It's just evil. Kidnapping them and... But here we have 97 women and children that were being held captive rescued. One of the youth, Sarah Luca, was one of the Chibok government secondary school girls that were abducted on the 14th of April 2014 by the terrorists. But the campaign Bring Back Our Girls has clarified that although she went to the school, she wasn't part of the group of 218 children that gained worldwide attention. Hear that? Oh, Bring Back Our Girls did not bring back our girls, and four girls have been kidnapped. But some of them have been rescued because we're concentrating on good news. However, one of the original girls was indeed found this week with her baby and said that all but six of her classmates were still alive and in the Sambisa forest where she was found. The girl named Amina Ali Nkek above met with the Nigerian president this week. She said that three other girls fled from the area when the troops invaded the area and killed 35 terrorists. And this comes a month and a half after the Nigerian army rescued more than 800 Boko Haram hostages in late March. I just got to say, how in the world do you kidnap and hold 800 people without a lot of people? It boggles the mind. But then maybe that's an American point of view that says, you know, if you've got 800 of us and 200 of you, let's go get them. But they're probably not all in one place. And in any case, today's show is about good news and 97, 98 with this girl were rescued from Boko Haram. And last month, 800 were rescued. So yay, Nigerian army, for rescuing those people. And boo, Boko Haram, for kidnapping them in the first place. And boo, even more, Islam, for having an ideology that allows it. So, on to our last section, which is doing what's right. We've got biodegradable and edible six-pack rings developed. And this is from sunnyskies.com. About a Florida brewery that creates a biodegradable six-pack ring that can be eaten by wildlife. Yes, you heard it. Those plastic rings, you know, we've all seen, well, we've probably mostly seen the picture of the turtle that got stuck in one of those plastic six-pack rings and the shell grew around it so it looks like it has a horrible little waist. Because, and the campaigns to tell people, oh, cut the rings on those. But part of the problem is that cutting the rings doesn't help if the animals eat them. Then they've got plastic in their stomach, and it's sharp, and it can do damage. in addition to the damage of you ate plastic and not food. But this brewery, let's see, Saltwater Brewery, has created the first 100% biodegradable and edible packaging in the beer industry. Well, I imagine it could be used for the soda industry, too. Instead of killing wildlife, their edible six-pack rings are feeding them. The holders are made out of pulp from byproducts of the brewing process, like wheat and barley. Not only does this make them totally biodegradable, but they're also just as strong as their plastic counterparts. Now, for me, my first thought was, but if it's biodegradable and it looks like it's like one of those McDonald's fiber things that they use to put your drinks in if you're in the car so that you can hold them steady and not have them rolling all over the car and making a mess. It looks like that sort of thing. And I have to say, well, if it's biodegradable and it dissolves when it's wet, doesn't that mean that condensation is going to be a problem? And I don't know. Maybe it is. But it's a step. It's a step in the right direction. It says, hey, here's a company doing an ethical thing. Guess what? All those companies, they are not evil people. Business owners, not evil people. They're business owners. They're a blessing to the community. And look it, they are blessing the world by developing these edible six-pack rings so that animals not only can eat them, but probably can't get stuck in them to the point of deformity or death because they biodegrade. Which means sooner or later, as the turtle grows, that thing's going to be moved out of the way. So that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I hope that, you know, there's just no downside to that. Good job, Saltwater Brewery. And if you want to check out these sites, Sunny Skies Good News has all sorts of good stuff for you to look at. The Good News, what is it? Good News Network, they're going into a lot of stuff that's kind of, well, maybe it's good and maybe it's not really that good. But you can go through and find good stuff. Fifth grader spends 6 months raising money to do something special for all his teachers. Florence and the Machine give personal concert to teen with cancer. Police officer gives his personal Pokemon collection to a boy who had his collection stolen. You know, there's all this stuff, all this good stuff out there, and sometimes we forget, or we don't forget, but we take it for granted. We take it for granted that people want to do good, because I think people do want to do good. It's just that you have to really work to figure out what good is sometimes. In any case, oh, Mama Goose finds police and leaves them to her baby tangled in string. Cute. There's just so many little things you can do to help each other. You don't have to develop biodegradable six-pack rings, but you can. If you're a musician, you don't have to give a personal concert to a teen with cancer, but you can. It's just amazing, amazing the wonderful things that we can do for each other, at least if government doesn't get in the way. There was a story on the Good News Network site about people who, in Australia, who banded together, raised money to buy a beach and make it a public beach. And I thought, well, that's how it's supposed to work. You know, if you want a beach to be a public beach, well, there you go. And then I thought, in this country, the DNR would get involved, Department of Natural Resources, because there's water involved there, and the government would get involved and tell you what you have to do and how you have to run things. And oftentimes that chills people from doing good things, and I hate that. That is one of the worst things about overregulation in the government, is that it chills people who want to do good things for each other. Freedom. Freedom is not about doing what you want. It's about doing what you can. And the more we can do good, the more we should. You know, we look at the world and we look at the transgender bathroom issue, which is a non-issue. A non-issue. You know, if you're going to dress up like a woman and go into a ladies' bathroom, you're taking a chance that some lady's going to spot you as a man and have you evicted. Because that's your choice. You chose to do that. You're not handicapped. You weren't born with a different color skin that people were discriminating against you for. You don't need the government to intervene in what is essentially a choice of behavior, because behaviors are a choice. We don't need the government to tell us that we can't rescue baby birds. We don't need the government to tell us that we can't feed stray cats, because there are places where you can't feed stray cats. What does that teach your children? You can't help baby animals. You can't feed stray cats. That tells me that people want to do these things. And I understand that if you don't know what you're doing, you can cause more harm than good, like that poor little baby buffalo out in Yellowstone. People thought it looked cold, so they put it in their car. And I'm not sure if this little buffalo, this little bison, was rejected from the herd because the people put it in their car, or if it had been rejected already. I suspect it had been rejected already, but all the stories are reading like it's because they put it in their car. Because I cannot imagine a mother bison allowing her baby to be picked up by people and put in a car if she's alive. So, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're doing. Find out what you're doing and do good. If you've got a problem, you can solve it. And hopefully we can get together, we can get government to get out of the way. That's what freedom's for. Doing good. Sometimes you need to say bad things to do good. Sometimes you need to see the good that we can do. And I don't know, I'm just having a weird sort of day. And I've been feeling a little bit down about all the bad news in the world, and I just wanted to put some cheerfulness out there, because by golly, it's a beautiful day and it's spring and it's time to plant the garden. And isn't it a miracle to see all those little seeds sprout and grow into plants? It's amazing. It just tickles me every year. I do nothing. Well, I water and I weed, but basically, I do nothing. Everything that seed needs to grow is right inside of it, except the water and dirt. There's a whole plant in that tiny little seed. It's a miracle. And we get food from it. And pretty flowers. Which, you know, for those of you who know me, you know that I like winter. I actually enjoy shoveling snow. As I get older, that joy is becoming less, because things are painful now. But I enjoy winter, and I view summer generally as an evil necessary for the growing of flowers and food. But while it's here, I really enjoy growing those flowers and that food. It's pretty, and I enjoy that. And we should look around the world and find some of the things we enjoy and enjoy them, appreciate them. When you see something that needs a good deed, do it. Pick up litter. Pay a penny into that little take a penny thing. Do something nice for someone. If nothing else, buy a bunch of flowers and hand them out to people who look sad. Be safe while you do it, but do something nice for somebody. And that is my show for today. So we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. Even if it's just in a stupid game site where you're helping somebody out with a request to move up a level or an item, you can help people, and that makes them feel good, and that makes the world a little bit better place. Find out where you can make a difference. Get out there and do it. Thanks for joining me.